What a blessing tonight. Isn't it great being in the house of the Lord on a Thursday night? Now, I know, I tell you, the week's going on, and we began the week, and you were all bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, now you're blurry-eyed and bushed. But I know your spirit tonight is uplifted. Your body's a little tired, a little weary. I understand that tonight. And if you feel a little tired and you feel a little sleepy while I'm preaching, then just feel free tonight to just stand up and run around the building a little bit until you're thoroughly awake, and then come back and sit down again. I might just follow you, so don't worry about it tonight. I came Sunday morning, I preached on getting close to God in Sunday school. And then Sunday night, I talked to you as we made mention of the alabaster box, very precious ointment the woman brought to Jesus. Monday night, we looked at the principle of giving and tithe and missions offering from the Word of God. And remember, the basic principle that we had was God owns all that I have. Remember that? Let's say that again. God owns all that I have. Once that's settled, giving is no problem at all because it's all God's. And as we said, it's a joy to look at it from the right perspective. It's not how much of your money you're giving to God. It's how much God's money you get to keep because it's all His. The tithe, he says, well, I can give 10% of my money to God. No, you keep 90% of your money. 90% of God's money, God that you have, and we give to missions from that. Then on Tuesday night, we looked at Mountaintop Vision and Gehazi, who only saw the temporal instead of the spiritual. And we saw that missions is not temporal, it's eternal. Last night, we took our journey that place called hell, and we saw the reality of what the Bible says happens after death for all of eternity. Tonight, I want to continue on preaching with the thought of missions, of course, but I want to expose tonight the devil's tool to bring down Loomis Park Baptist Church. The devil has a plan for that, folks. You better be aware tonight. Devil doesn't like you. Devil doesn't want you here. The devil doesn't want all these missionaries to be supported. If he can bring down the church here and cause this church to be in disarray, look at the missionaries he could hurt around the world and the souls of those people as well, not to make mention the local community that in which you are involved and surrounding towns as well. And he has a plan for you tonight. It is so subtle. It is so subtle. But he's a deceiver, isn't he? But I want to expose him tonight. And what the Bible teaches is God's way tonight to stay true to the Word of God and to the missions program. Exodus chapter number 5 tonight, and you're familiar with this account, I'm sure. How many times you have read it, how many times you have heard it preached. And God's people were slaves in Egypt land, 400 years in slavery. Egyptians taking the babies of the Hebrews, throwing them to the crocodiles, especially the boys, because they were multiplying too much. And Pharaoh thought they would overrun us. So he said, we'll just kill the babies. Killing babies is not new. It's been going on for centuries. God's people cried for deliverance, and God raised up Moses. And the Bible says in Exodus chapter number 5, and afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord. I like that, folks. It's thus saith the Lord. Not the preacher's opinion, not the church constitution, not the creed in which we might develop and live by, but it is thus saith the Lord tonight. That's our power and that is our authority. Thus saith the Lord, God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said,
Who is the Lord that I shall obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord. That's a true statement. I know not the Lord. I know not the Lord. How many today can say that? I know not the Lord. Neither will I let Israel go. Pharaoh didn't know the God he was dealing with. Perhaps he thought it was just like some of the old false gods round about him that he could set up and tear down. But he was dealing with the Almighty One. He was dealing with that one as he created heaven and earth, and by his breath breathed in the man's nostrils the breath of life that he might become a living soul. He was dealing with the one that gives breath at birth and takes it back at death. I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. Egypt is always a picture of the world. Nothing good in Egypt. Egypt was slavery. Egypt was bondage. Egypt was shackled. Egypt was not the freedom of God's people. And God's greatest goal is for his people to be free to serve him. Well, Pharaoh said, I'm not going to let Israel go. God demanded an absolute break with Egypt. But Pharaoh said, I'm not going to let it happen. Well, in chapter 6, verse 1, God sends the first plague. Pharaoh's heart hardened. Chapter 7, 17, God sends the first plague, 7, 17, the second plague, chapter 8, verse 1. Third plague, chapter 8, verse 16. The fourth plague, chapter 8, verse 20, and turn there, please. Exodus 8. The plague came upon the land. And then I want you to go down to verse 25 after that plague. And Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, go, go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land. Pharaoh said, all right, look, I'm tired of these plagues. I'm tired of these problems. You want a sacrifice? Go ahead and do it. But do it here in Egypt. That's not what God said. God said, leave Egypt. Get out of it. Be ye separate. God says, get out of Egypt. But Pharaoh says, I want you to realize I have compassion on you, and I am allowing you to worship your God here in the land. I'm going to preach tonight on the evils of compromise tonight. And I guess we hear that all the time, don't we? Oh, we have to compromise. Oh, we have to go see both sides. I guess maybe in the political realm to get elected, some guys have to compromise here and there. And maybe in a war situation, you have to compromise here and there. But when it comes to the child of God, living for God and obeying God, there is no room for compromise. And Pharaoh tried to get him to compromise. He said, you're going to worship God? Do it here in the land. You don't have to go way out there. But remember that Egypt is a picture of the world, and God says, get out of the world. Now, the world will tell us today, and even some cold-hearted Christians who do not have conviction but preferences in their life, and we'll say, well, preacher, why do we have to be so particular? Why do we just have to be so dogmatic on things? Preacher and I, we talked a lot this week. I've gotten to know him like I've never knew him before. And we talked a lot of theology. We talked a lot of Bible verses and everything. And we didn't talk about you. We don't care about you. We were just talking about the things of the Lord. And we had a good time. I'll tell you this though, folks. One thing he has said to me repeatedly since Sunday. You've taken care of me so well this week. You really have. And I've gone to some very nice places for some meals. Very good food. I'm going home a bigger preacher than what I came.
I was telling a sister, I think it's the Michigan air shrinking my clothes. They fit when I came. And after every meal, I said to him, I said, "Preacher, thank you." You know what his words were? "No, it's not me. It's the church. It's you people. Thank you." He just gives the credit to you. He loves you, folks. And I know you love him. But there comes times when God's people say, "Oh, why are we so particular? Why do we have to do it like this? Why do we have to have a big baptistry with all that water and put people, when we could just have a little bowl over here, you know?" I said, "No, because that's not God's command. That's not what God says." And when it comes to our standards in our church, why are we so particular about how we live and about our rapport in the community? Because God tells us that our life ought to emulate that of Jesus Christ. We just sung a few moments ago, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." And the Bible commands, "Be ye holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord." Now, there's only one way that could happen. First of all, be in Christ and have His righteousness and His holiness upon you. That as we live, there'll be less of the old life and a whole lot more of the new life. And Pharaoh was saying, you don't have to go out there to worship God. You could do it here in Egypt. But there were no altars in Egypt. And the Lord God says, leave Egypt. I love this church because you're just my kind of people, my kind of music, my kind of preacher, my kind of folks here tonight. I said, old-fashioned folks singing the old-fashioned. We don't need drums. We don't need cymbals. We don't need laser lights going back and forth. I saw one church. I was not invited to preach there just as well. And a preacher come out of the side door. And when he came out, there was a mist of fog. And he could walk out of the fog. To the people, I said, "Good night." I saw that on the video. I said, "What a show." No, we do things decently in order to the glory of God. And you know what, folks? We have a good time about it too, don't we? We don't need all that. We don't need to bring the world into the church. God says, get out of Egypt. He didn't say, "Hey, take the Egyptians away and bow to them and just do your little things and God be." No, God says, get out of Egypt. Pharaoh said, sacrifice in the land. Moses wouldn't have anything to do with it. And he says, "No, I won't. It wasn't written yet in paper, but it was on Moses' heart. The Bible says, wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." And the reason why many of us and many of our prayers are not being received by God is because we are touching the unclean thing. And may we have a sanitizing spirit of God to cleanse us, that our hands will touch that which is holy rather than that which is evil. Well, in chapter 8, and then we go down to verse, Moses says at verse 27, "We will go 3 days into the..." I love a man like that. Say, "I'm sorry, Pharaoh, I'm not accepting your compromise." He says, "We will go," in verse 27. Then verse 28, Pharaoh said, "I'll let you go, that ye may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only ye shall not go very far away." And notice, look, stay in touch with the old life. Stay in touch with Egypt. You want this religion? Don't become a nut. Don't go crazy. Don't go too far. That ever happened to you when you got saved and you started coming to church and your relatives kind of looked at you and just said, "Boy, you're really becoming a religious fanatic." And the world says, don't become crazy for Jesus. Well, why not? I was crazy for the devil before I was saved. Now I'm crazy for the Lord. But you see, Pharaoh said, okay, you're going to go, but look, don't go too far now. Don't burn your bridge behind you. When I got saved, I'll tell you, I had a lot. I was 16 years old, probably the age of some of these young people here. I was 16 years of age. You say, "Well, how bad can a 16-year-old be?" Enough to go to hell. And I had to go to my back of my room and I had to do some cleansing. And some of my friends started saying, "What's with you you doing? Why are you changing so much? I said, because God changed me on the inside. I'm getting changed on the outside. And they thought I was really going. He said, you're going too far now with this religion. You're going to, some people think you've gone too far because you tithe and give 10% of your gross income to the Lord. They say, oh, you're going too far. No, it's what our God commands. Oh, yeah, beyond that, you're not only doing that, but you're also going to be giving above that in faith promise missions this week. And they say, oh, you don't go too far. I'm going all the way because that's what Jesus did for me when he went to the cross. He went all the way. When he bore my sin, he bore it all. Every last one of them. Every drop of blood he shed was because of my iniquity. Every cry of agony when he cried out, I thirst, and the flames of hell were looking at his soul was because of my sin. Every whip upon his back. Every crown of thorn upon his brow. Was telling me he went all the way for me. And I'm determined to go all the way for him. How about you tonight? You know what that means? That means getting saved. That means getting baptized. That means joining the church. That means tithing. That means serving. That means missions giving. And it means 11 o'clock Saturday morning on visitation going all the way for God. I learned a long time ago. Our dear sister was playing the offertory tonight. Do you remember the song? Preacher made mention of it. Do you remember the song? She said, I'm not going to embarrass you and ask you whether you did or not, but it was Throw Out the Lifeline. And I began thinking as she's playing, I don't have to know how to swim in order to throw out a lifeline to somebody. I don't. All I have to do is throw out the lifeline. That's it. I don't have to know how to swim. You know, it's the same thing with the gospel. I may not know how to do a lot of things, but I could throw out the lifeline and gospel track. I could throw out the lifeline and work a bus route and bring a boy or girl to Sunday school on the church bus. I could throw out a lifeline. Oh, go. But don't go too far now. Don't go too far. I mean, go to church Sunday morning. That's fine. Well, you're going to go Sunday night. All right. Sunday. Wait a minute. This week? Monday night? Tuesday night? Wednesday night? Thursday night? Tomorrow, Friday night, Saturday, and then three times again on Sunday. Yeah, and we do it all over again. Because it's such a joy going all the way for God. Pharaoh said, don't go too far. First of all, do it our way here in Egypt. No, we're not going to do that. Moses, we're going to go. He said, you're going to go, but don't go too far. But then in chapter 10, Moses still refused to bow. And in chapter 10 and verse number 9, and Moses says, we will go with our young and with our old and our sons and our daughters, with our flocks and our herds, where we go, for we will must hold the feast unto the Lord. And he said, that is Pharaoh, and he said unto them, let the Lord be with you. So I will let you go. And your little ones, look to it. For evil is before you. He said, listen, Moses, you got to stop and think. This is okay. You're a grown man and you have adults. But look at your kids. There's a lot of evil out there. There's a lot of wild animals out there. You leave them behind. And we'll take care of them for you. And how the devil has gotten into our life just like that. I have people ask me all the time. They say, Brother Susan, do you think I should force my kids to come to church? Well, what if they woke up one morning and said, I don't want to go to school today. I just don't feel like it. You give them the choice. You're going to school. Or what if they say, I'm tired of brushing my teeth. I don't want to brush my teeth. You make them brush their teeth. Oh, I'm tired of taking baths. I don't want to take baths. You make them take baths. Their soul is infinitely more important. And I know, God bless you, young people. I know some of you had school this week, I suppose, and it's been hard in. Some of you adults, you have early morning work, and I understand that. But folks, it is better to have your children here in church, hearing the Word of God, maybe a little tired, and the next day at school to get something for the soul. You can get book learning anytime. We could only get that which God has for you when it's offered. And Pharaoh says, don't involve your kids. That's why I say everybody, every young person, young lady, young man, mom and dad ought to have a card and pray your part. Get the family involved. Get the family involved in soul winning. Come out as a family. Go with a bus captain. Give your kids, go out with a bus captain out there and invite some of these other kids. Get involved. Old Pharaoh says, go, but don't get your family involved. That's the devil loves that. But the hope of our church is our young people. I used to say, that's the church of tomorrow. I don't say that because they're part of our church today. But one day, they will hold places of leadership. One day, I'm going to get older. You laugh, but so will you. And we need a steady stream of young men and young women that will stand in the gap and make up the hedge. Get your family involved in missions and praying for missions. I don't know if you, I like going home. I like looking at refrigerators, not inside, but the magnets on the outside. I don't know what you have on yours, if anything, but a lot of homes have mission cards, prayer cards and everything, and magnets, you know, and I like looking at those. Sometimes they're children or grandchildren, and that's fine. But when you sit down to eat, why not just look over? Pick out a missionary. And when you thank the Lord for the food, thank the Lord for them and pray for them. I like, brother, what you said tonight. I like that. I knew it, but I didn't think of it the way he said it. The early church in persecution, they didn't pray for deliverance and safety. They pray for boldness. They just, oh God, they're coming after us. Hey God, we don't want to die. Hey God, we don't want to hurt. No, they said, Lord, grant to thy servants boldness to speak the word. We have a bunch of wimps in America today. That if you just cross them the wrong way, oh, oh, I don't like that. Oh, I don't want to come. Stand up, be a man, be a woman for God. Have a boldness about you for the things of the Lord. They didn't ask for safety. And when they were brought before the council and they left, they count it worthy to suffer for the name of Jesus. Pharaoh says, all right, you won't do it in the land. Oh, all right, well, you go, but not too far. Moses said, we're going to go all the way. We're going all the way. I said, okay, but look. Think of your children. Notice, I'm not going to tell you. Let Moses tell you. Right here. Chapter 10. Verse 9, 10, and 11, Moses answers, not so. Like that. Today's day and age, we would probably say it like this. No way. As for me and my house, say it with me, we will serve the Lord. I will serve God. And so will my children. So my boys, four sons, traveled with me. And my wife, many long nights of revival. Sometimes we'd get home 1, 2 o'clock in the morning traveling back. My wife, bless her heart, teaches first grade in the Christian school for 34 years now. And my boys would get up same time and go to school just a few hours sleep. Yeah, I know they would sleep in the car, but it's just not the same as being in your bed. And never one time did they complain. Never one time did they say, "Daddy, we have to go." Never one time did they say, "Oh, we're tired. Oh, you know, we don't want to go. We want to go, but it's so hard." Never in all these years have they complained. You said, "Well, your kids must hate you for doing all that." Yeah, that's why my oldest is assistant pastor in a church that runs 1,200 people down in Woodbridge, Virginia. That's why my second son Matt is an evangelist as I am. That's why my third son Ben was ordained in Goshen, Ohio. That's why my fourth son, Jonathan, is minister of youth and music down in North Carolina. It's for me and my house, we determined I'm going to serve God and my children are. Some of you might say, "Well, my kids are all grown." Well, you have grandchildren you could influence. And you could influence them to serve God. Well, I want to go on because I know I want to get you. So, Pharaoh says, go, split the home, leave your kids, let us train them. Listen, it's not the world's responsibility to train your children. It's yours. Now, I know you might send them to government school, and I'm not going to get into all of that tonight. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. In the end, it's your responsibility, mom and dad, for how your children learn about Jesus. Moses said, not so. Our little ones will come with us. Don't leave them in Egypt tonight. Well, then in chapter 10 and verse 24, because Moses said, nope, they're going to go with us. And Pharaoh called for Moses and says, go ye, serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you. Okay, Pharaoh says, I can't stop Moses. Man, he is so stubborn. He is so set. He is so bullheaded. He is so stubborn. He's going to go. He's not going to worship here. He's going to go. He's going to go all the way. He's going to bring all the young ones with him. Okay, Moses, let go, but leave your cattle bit. In other words, your wealth. Your month. That's how they had wealth back then. They didn't have bank accounts. They had cattle. They had herds. That was their wealth. And what was he saying? He was saying, don't put your money in with your worship. Isn't it amazing? As I started Sunday night when I made the statement, it's funny how money affects some people. It ought not to affect you in a negative way. It ought to be a joyful thing. If you don't smoke, do you object to the preacher talking about defiling your body? No. Don't bother you. Yeah, right, preacher. That's good preaching. Do you object if there's preaching against the seductive age in which we live and how we ought to live pure? No, that doesn't bother you unless you're living in it. Then why does it bother you and bother us when we start talking about money? Because, as Jesus said, and I said before, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is also. You put your treasure into missions. You put your treasure into this church. You put your treasure into the bus ministry, and your heart will be in it. You see, Pharaoh said, don't put your money where your mouth is. Leave your cash, your cattle, your herds behind. And Moses said, I'm not going to do it. We're going to go. We're going to bring our, we're going to go. We're going to go all the way. We're going to bring our love and we're going to bring the money with us. Well, Pharaoh came to one final conclusion. In chapter 10, in verse number 28, the only conclusion Pharaoh can come to says, get out of here. If I see you again, I'll kill you. That's what he said. And Moses went out. And he went out without compromise. Folks, once you start compromising, I'm towards the end of my week here, so you get mad at me if you want to, because I'm going to be out of here. You start compromising on your music, you're on a slippery slope. You take this pulpit away and put one of those sissy little plexiglass. Oh, guys, I see them on TV, the little sissy plexiglass. I like something like this that you can really preach on. And knock your glasses down. You're on a slippery. You see, here's the problem with compromise. There is no end. You give up here, give up here, give up here, and you're going to come to the point and say, how did we ever get here? It's like a fellow, he had a fish market. He had a big sign across the front of the fish market. It said, fresh fish for sale today. Guy walks into his fish market. Says, I'm talking to you about your sign. He says, what is that? It says, fresh fish for sale today. He said, look, we know you. You're a man of integrity. We know your fish is fresh. You don't need that up there. He goes, okay, so he gets up and paints out the word fresh. Now it says, fish for sale today. Another guy walks in and he says, hey, you know your sign up there? I said, yeah. He says, fish for sale today? Of course it's today. You're not going to sell it tomorrow, and you can't sell it yesterday. It's gone. Yesterday passed. He said, yeah, you're right. So he goes, fish for sale. Another guy walks in and he says, you know your sign up there? He says, yeah, what's the matter with it? It says, fish for sale. Of course it's for sale. We know you're not going to give it away. He says, yeah, you're right. So now the sign says fish. The guy walks in and says, you know your sign up there? He says, yeah, what about it? He says, you don't need it. I can smell you 3 blocks down the road. There's just no end of compromise. That is why plant your feet, drive your stake, and do as God commands you to do. I love the 3 Hebrew children. Oh, they could have bowed, but they didn't. They could have bent the knee, but they didn't. Said, yeah, look where they got them. Yeah, look where it got them. In a fiery furnace, but were they hurt? No, the only one that got hurt was the guards that opened up the door. Can you imagine them walking around in the fire? Hey, Shadrach, look at the hot one over there. Yeah, stepping all over it. And the old king look in there. And I like the way that old quartet used to sing it. They wouldn't bow, they wouldn't bend, and they wouldn't even burn. And they come out standing true to their God. Can I encourage you tonight? Take your card. Take your alabaster box tonight. You have it? Take it. Hold it. And tonight, hold it up for a moment. Oh, I love seeing blue. I love seeing blue. Our alabaster box tonight. I'm not going to compromise on giving to God. I'm not going to let up. I'm not going to go a little way. I'm going all the way with God. And I'm going to do all that God tells me to do. Hold them up. We're going to pray. Father, we lift to you tonight.